This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone, my thank you, Father, that we can testify we've got a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth through the blood of Jesus. That we can sing it, that we can praise your name, that we can celebrate it just now in communion as well. That we've got a relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for this celebration today, that we can come and that we can celebrate it with you, that we've got a relationship which is going to last forever and ever. That gives us hope. We can look around us, the whole world nowadays, the wars and everything, Father. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. But we can look up to the living God who stands there with his arms wide open, waiting for us, for each and every one who wants to go into a relationship with him through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you that I can pray, Lord, that our minds will be open, that our hearts will be open to receive today, Father. And maybe there were things which were distracting us during the week. We may be excited about a new job or a new girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it is, Father, but that we can forget about it today, that we can come, that we can set it aside, that we can say, we've got an appointment, we've got a meeting, we've got an encounter with a living God. Father, I bind whatever the enemy wants to do this afternoon to distract people or to put other thoughts into people's mind. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ that we can receive from you. Spirit of religion, you're not going to have any chance this afternoon to distract, to do something negative. We are here to celebrate the living God with whom we've got a relationship in the name of Jesus. I feel that the Lord was saying that he's been speaking to somebody during the worship part. So if the Lord spoke to you, if the Lord gave you a picture, or he gave you a word, or he gave something to you during worship, what you've got to share, come and share with the congregation, then I'm inviting you to come.
It was almost, I got a picture of mist coming into a town by the main road. And the mist went everywhere, but some windows were open, and some doors were open, and some were closed. And the mist could go into those places where it was open. And I said to God, what is this? And he says, my Holy Spirit is everywhere, and it comes in, and those who want to receive it will open up. They will open their doors. And then I saw, but there's blood following this mist. And I said, and what is this? And God said, it's actually the song we had now at the end. By the blood of the Lamb, we will overcome. And he reminded me of the 10 plagues and the last one, that they had to put the blood on the doorposts and that the angel of death could not do anything there. And it's just because of God that we can overcome. It's just because of him. And those who accept the blood, those who applied the blood that came after this, they will overcome.
Pray then.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this picture. We thank you that your Holy Spirit was like mist coming in, Father. And
Amen.
We open up our doors and we open up our hearts for you, Lord. Come and flood us in the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you for your blood. We do not earn it. We cannot do anything with it. We can only accept. So, Father, we humbly come today and we accept the blood of Jesus Christ that died for us on the cross. And because of that, we will be righteous before you, Lord. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, and I just want to prophesy over this church, but also many other places in this country. They will accept you. They will accept your spirit. They will accept your blood in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
While we were worshiping, I just was thinking about stuff that I was praying about this week, and God just dropped the word in my heart, right. And when I'm talking about right, I'm talking about like legal right or law. And then I thought, okay, what does that mean? And then I was actually given a picture or reminded of a few years ago before we moved here. I worked full-time in Shofar for 8 years, and it was a really busy time. And there was one time when we were having a staff meeting, and my team leader sent me a message, and he said, can you do this, this, and this afterwards? And I was supposed to be having a break. And I just remember, like, tears coming up in my throat and feeling so overwhelmed by, like, why do I have to do another thing and another thing? And I walked out, and I went to go sit on a tire outside, and I just sat there, and I looked out at the mountain, and I just remember God just sitting there and saying, God, like, how much do I have to give? You know, what if I feel like I don't have anything to give anymore? What do I then give? Like, why can't I just walk away? And God came just with this one word, entitlement. And then he asked me, like, why do you feel entitled to take a break? And I was like, whoa, okay, what does that mean? And he just challenged me a lot, and I just felt that word again today, and I don't know if it, I know I'm also preaching a little bit to myself, but I felt that somebody maybe needs to hear it today, that we just search our hearts, and ask God to search our hearts also, like, are we being entitled, like, being entitled? Do we feel entitled to say, no, now is enough? And obviously, boundaries are an important thing for all of us, but what I'm trying to say is that we need to ask God to separate our selfish will from his will, and our calling, or our calling in his kingdom, from what we want to do day to day. And with that, I want to say, yes, many of us, and including me, feel maybe a bit burnt out, or feel used, or feel all the wonderful words that we use in church sometimes. But I was just reminded also during worship that there are so many scriptures in the Bible that say that we need to operate from a place of rest. And that doesn't mean from a place on the couch. That means from a place of rest in our souls, in our spirits, that we can continue. But yeah, there's a fine line. There's a fine line between burning out in ministry and operating from a place of rest. And I think we move from that covering so easily when we start doing things in our strength. But that doesn't mean we need to stop. It just means that we need to come back in line with what God is doing. And if we walk in that place, it's just like this abundance of energy, an abundance of purpose, an abundance of, okay, I can keep doing this. So yeah, just ask God this week, if that's something on your heart, what am I feeling entitled to? And what have you called me to do? And where am I standing in that? So yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Last week we spoke about it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is a line which was in the letters to the different churches, the seven different churches, what we read in the first part of Revelation. And last week we heard how important it is, the church, for God. That God wants to work through the church. And he wants to work through us as well. And then we sometimes ask, are we really listening to God's plan? Are we listening what he's telling us? Are we approaching him on the right way? What are we doing correct? What are we doing maybe not correct? How does God send messages to us? What must we do? And I felt that the Lord this afternoon wants to speak to us through Samuel and Samuel 7, 1 Samuel 7, the whole chapter would be going to go through how God is working with Samuel and how things were happening over there. But before we start with 7, we just have got to have a look and say, okay, but what happened beforehand, the background? And it was that Israel was fighting against the Philistines. And I think that's nothing new. I think it's still happening today. But what they did is they went into war and they thought, okay, we've got a type of a joker. We've got God. We're going to bring the ark, and if we bring the ark along with us, the Lord is going to protect us. The Lord is going to win on behalf of us. The Lord is going to do it. That's how it is going to happen. So they had a type of a magic, what they had, what they thought they had, with taking the ark along. But unfortunately, it went wrong, because the Philistines defeated the Israelites, and they captured the ark. And the reason for it, what we read in 1 Samuel, is that it was ungodly priesthood, and the people were not doing what the Lord asked them to do. They were not obeying his commandments. And then Eli, at that time, who was with, where Samuel was at that time, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, both of them, they died. And when Eli heard it, he also died. And Eli was a judge for 40 years. And then steadily Samuel took over there. In 1 Samuel 5, we see that the Philistines, they took the ark, and they had the ark. They put it in the temple of Dagon, and then the next morning came and its whole statue fell apart. And the one pesticides and the one problem and the one virus after the other one, after the other, after the other, that after 7 months they said, let's give that ark back to the Israelites. We don't want to have it any longer. And then they thought about it, what are we going to do? And then they asked their priest and they asked their smoothsayers, their diviners, what must we do? And they said, okay, you must send back the ark, but you also must send then along with it a guilt offering of what you're going to give to them as a type of a remuneration for what happened. Because those people, like it says over there, the man died from the plague or they were having painful tumors or boils. So each and every one was affected by that ark, by the hand of God, which was severely on them. And that is what we read then in 1 Samuel 4, 5, and 6. And then I would like to start, like I said, in 7. And it starts in 7, and it says, then the men of Kiriath, because what the Israelites did, they brought it to the closest town, they left it over there, and then they went back. And then the men of Kiriath came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. That ark was standing there for 20 years. And what we see in those 20 years is one of the biggest, you can even talk about the revival in the Old Testament, what we've seen. Because in those 20 years, they were hungering for God. The people were looking for God. They wanted to have God. They wanted to be in relationship with God. What happened over there? It was Samuel, the way he worked. 1 Samuel 3 verses 10, it tells us that the Lord was speaking to Samuel and he called him 3 times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, speak to you, Lord, your servant is listening. The attitude of Samuel, he was a servant. He was prepared to do what the Lord asked him to do. It wasn't the matter that he said, okay, I will do my will, as what Yolandi just now said. When we do a will, we've got to do God's will. Our own will must be aside. That's not where it is about. We must do God's will, what God wants us to do over there. And then the beautiful thing is that if we see how God is blessing Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, the last verses, and then the first one of verse 4, of chapter 4. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. None of his words, none of the words of Samuel returned empty. All those words were seed, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as the prophet of the Lord. And then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. He was speaking to all of them in Israel. He was a prophet. Eli was the judge, and he could steadily grow as a prophet. And he spoke to each and every one. And all of them were listening to him, and all of them acknowledged him as a prophet. And then the one verse what we are actually speaking about this afternoon, and it is then preparing our hearts, that we read in 1 Samuel 7, verses 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your heart for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. What Samuel was doing, he was traveling around and he was going to different places. He wasn't statuted at one place that the people had to come to him, but he was going around to the different places. So he was meeting them as and where the people were staying. And then he's telling them, because that message he gave everywhere, the same message. If you return to the Lord with all your heart and put away any foreign god and the Ashtoreths from among you and prepare your heart for the Lord, prepare your heart for the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. You must probably going to ask, okay, what does it mean to prepare our hearts? Now, if we're going to prepare our hearts, then we are turning away from our idols. And all of us have got something, including me. All of us have got something where we are proud of, I nearly can say, where we're looking after. It could be our house, it could be the car, it could be the work, it could be your hair, it could be your new pair of glasses, it could be anything. But it's an idol, it's so important that you basically take a focus away from God. So we've got to turn away from our hearts, away from idols, and we've got to repent of it. And by repenting is then to saying to God, I'm sorry about it. Not actually sorry, I'm repenting of it. I'm stopping with it. I'm not going to carry on with doing those type of things and focusing on other idols instead of on focusing on God. And then we've got to turn our heart. We've got to focus on God. And if we turn our heart and focus on God, then we are receptive to hear, to listen what God is going to say to us. But if we are busy then with God, then we mustn't start looking around again for other idols. That's also not what God is looking for. So preparing the heart has got those four steps, what we've got to keep in mind if we are preparing the heart. That we are going to turn away from idols, that we repent of the idols, that we turn our heart on God, and that we're not going to focus on other idols. 4-6. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths. As Samuel was speaking everywhere, the people were reacting because they knew what he was saying was the truth. They had to do it. They put their idols away. They put the Baals away and they put the Ashtoreths away. Ashtoreths is it's a plural from Ashtoreth, and then Baal and Ashtoreth were seen as a couple nearly who were then multiplying, if I can put it that way. So it was God had of gods which they had in that area at that time. So the children of Israel reacted on Samuel and they put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. It's a beautiful sentence. They reacted what Samuel was saying over there. They prepared their hearts. And then Samuel said, gather all the people at Mizpah. So instead of that, he went to all the places. He now said, okay, let's come together. We go to one place, to Mizpah. And I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day, what we're going to do tomorrow and till Wednesday as well, and sat there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Mizpah means a watchtower. Mizpah was an elevated place in that area, so you could see from there if the enemy was coming. So the Israelites were coming together in Mizpah as a type of a big church over there, I can say. And then they said, they drew water and put it out before the Lord. And what we're doing over there, if we draw water, and we pour it out for the Lord. It's symbolic that we pour out their hearts in repentance for the Lord. So it's part of that repentance. It's part of showing that repentance to God is that you draw water and you pour it out before God. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, for he may save us from the hands of the Philistines. So they came together at the elevated at the high place. And then the first thing what the Israelites thought, oh, they are gathering now. Now we've got a problem. They want to fight us. So the lords, which means the lords, the mayors of the cities, came together and said, okay, we've got to fight against the Israelites now. So they came together. This again, the Israelites saw that the people were coming together, and they got afraid. They were afraid, and they said, what are we going to do now? Because the thing is, you see, if we're gathering over here, I don't think that anyone has got a weapon with him today over here. No, nobody. Okay. Exactly the same with the Israelites. They came together to worship God. They didn't take any weapons along. They came totally unprepared. So the Israelites now saw that the Philistines are coming, that the Philistines are going to kill them. That's where they were afraid of. The Israelites were there and they were fasting and praying. What are we going to do as well? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're also going to fast and pray. We are vulnerable in that time. The enemy is going to try and see what he can do. But we've got to continuously pray and stay with the Lord and pray and fast. Then Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. The Lord didn't give him a strategic plan. If you go this or that and that, then you can defeat the Philistines. No. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. And then something awesome. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Have you ever heard that a whole army have been destroyed by a thunderstorm? It happens. It happened over here. God did it because the people were prepared to go to him. And then God is doing something which is a miracle for us. They were not asking for that. They didn't pray for a thunderstorm or anything like that. But they prayed for help. And God came. And he came with a thunderstorm. And the beauty of this as well is, if we read this part, and if we go back to the prayer of Anna, Samuel's mother, in the beginning of the first Samuels, then we can see, she already prophesied it in that prayer of what was going to happen, and it happened over here. And the man of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistine and drove them back as far as below Betkar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Sian and called it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So when the Israelites saw what was happening over there, they went after the Philistines. They must probably grabbed of those weapons what the Philistines had, and they started chasing them, because I don't think that there was a shop close by or anything like that. So they must probably grabbed, and then the Philistines were even further defeated with their own weapons. How beautiful the Lord is doing it over there. And then Samuel took a stone. He took a stone. But he didn't take a stone and started chiseling it and made it very beautiful that it could become an idol. It was just a stone to remember. And then the place where he's going to put it as well, he put it between Mizpah and Shen. Now Mizpah means it's a tower. And Shen means it's a teeth. So somewhere between he put up that rock and he said, thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far the Lord has helped us. By that he was also saying, I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord is going to help us further. It's not going to stop over here. It's just a halfway, but it's putting up a beacon, putting up a stone so that the people could see it and that they also could be remembered again of that awesome miracle what happened over there. And then the name of Ebenezer means stone of help. And God will continuously help us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more in the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Not only have the Philistines been defeated, but they gave back. The original places which belonged to Israel were given back. It was restored. When I was reading that, and I thought, how beautiful God is doing that, that he is intervening. He's reacting on his people who are calling on him and who are behaving it, who prepare their hearts and who follow the Lord and haven't got time for idols. And then God is responding. But he's not only defeating the Philistines. He's even telling them, give those towns back. And then the last part as well. There was peace between Israel and the Amorites. The Amorites was a tribe which was in Canaan when the Israelites came over there. And it's one of those tribes which Joshua made an agreement with. And they were sometimes a little bit difficult. They even reacted. And they were quiet. How beautiful it is. What we can see over here, how God reacted when the people were asking for it. And then the last two verses, or three verses. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. And there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar to God. He built an altar over there for his family, for the place where he's staying, but also for the people in the country, that if they were coming to him, that he could do offerings over there. God had a plan. The situation when Samuel was born was very bad, with Hophni and Phinehas and with Eli. They were ungodly priests, and the people were not obeying to God's commandment. That's what we've read just now. But God didn't leave it like that. God made a plan. And he says this too as well in 1 Samuel 3 verses 11. The Lord told Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of all who hear shall tingle. You won't believe it, what God is going to do. He's telling it beforehand to Samuel. And then it's so beautiful to see how God is then, he has got a plan, and we can read it afterwards, and then it's so beautiful to see how he's working, how he's using people, and how he's training people, and how he's putting certain people in certain places with capacities, and then using those people. The Israelites and the ungodly people wanted to use the Ark of God as a magic. And there was a type of a division which was there between the Israelites and God. But God didn't leave the Israelites. Although the way they treated the ark and treated him, if I can put it that way, God still went back to his people and still wanted to do and wanted to save them. And God has got that same plan for Utrecht. Exactly the same plan. If God looks at Utrecht now, we also have got ungodly priests. We also have got people who are not obeying God's commandments. But the last one, I think most of you will all agree and say, yes, there are enough of them working with you, staying across you in the street, or whatever it is, you see those people. They are there. But God has got a plan. As he's got a plan for Samuel at that time, God has got a plan for us now as well. I'm going to read some of those scriptures, those lines, and I'm going to put it in today's context of what does it actually mean and how God wants to work through us and how God has got a plan for Utrecht over here. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel. Where was Samuel talking about? Samuel was talking about God. Samuel has been sleeping in the temple where the Ark of God was. He couldn't be closer to God. He experienced the presence of God, if I can put it that way. He was full of it. He was talking to all the people about it. We were singing it just now, the testimony. We can testify it as well, what God is doing in our lives. We shouldn't be quiet about it. We can share it. We can tell it to other people. It's for them to decide what they're going to do with it. But as Samuel was speaking to all the houses of Israel, we can speak to all the people of Utrecht and tell them that there's a broken relationship with God and that God wants to restore it. Samuel also said in verse 3, prepare your heart for the Lord. I think it's applicable for us today as well, for me as well. Turn away from your idols. Turn away from your idols. Repent, focus on God, and don't get other idols. Prepare your heart. It's applicable for us today as well. If I'm going to spend some time with you, then you're most probably going to find out, wait a moment, somewhere there is something where you give a little bit of a value to, which is an idol. I'm as guilty as well. But we've got to address it. We've got to get rid of it. So they gathered together at Mizpah. They drew water and poured it out before the Lord. We also have to purify our heart by repentance. We've got to repent of our sins. It's not a matter of just to say, I'm sorry about it that I did it. But we've got to repent of it and say, but Lord, I really do not want to do it again. It has got to stop of being part of my life. And they fasted that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. We're now going to fast for 3 days. How are you going to fast? What are you going to fast? It's totally up to you. If you're going to do a total fast and only live on water, or if you're going to drink some juice as well, or if you're going to fast one meal, or whatever the Lord is telling you to, or you maybe have got to fast media, that's maybe even worse than food, I don't know. It could also be, I don't know. But fasting, we're going to prepare our hearts for the Lord. The Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Are we limiting God? Or are we saying a miracle is possible? I believe a miracle is possible. So yes, that we pray for it and ask for it for a miracle if we've got to do a miracle, or at least be prepared that something through us can be working. That if we can pray for other people that they can be healed, that we can get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for somebody else, that something can happen, that a miracle can happen, that we can say, this can only be God. This is not me. I can't do something like that. God is working through me, and that we can hear the thunder of God, and that we can see what is happening after that thunderstorm. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. We do not have to bring a sacrifice anymore. Jesus died for us at the cross, and with the communion just now, we're going to be reminded again, and we remember it again of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. We do not have to do any type of sacrifice anymore, besides that we've got to sacrifice ourselves for the Lord, that we've got to die, and that we can be resurrected with him, with Jesus Christ. Samuel took a stone and set up between Mizpah and Shen and called it the name Ebenezer, and saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. When supernatural things are happening, let's put up a stone. Let's remember it. But we shouldn't chisel that stone that it becomes an idol, but that we can just write it down in our journal. What happened over here was a miracle, and I'm excited about it. And maybe you can share it in your small group, maybe you can share it at another place, but that we can see those type of miracles as well, and that we can give glory to God, and then we can put up a symbol over there. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, which were taken from Israel were restored to Israel. And as I was busy with it, I feel that in a period, in the 3 days, what's going to come, that through that consecration and through preparing our hearts, that there's somebody who's going to experience this exactly. That God is going to give something back to you which you didn't have. But by spending time with God, God is giving it back to you. And that you can be restored of something which has been taken from you, which has been stolen by you, by the enemy. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. If we're going to be busy with God, then those type of idols which have been bothering us in the past, they're not going to bother us anymore. As what the Amorites were not bothering the Israelites anymore. Those idols which were in our lives, if we really focused on God and if we prepare our hearts for God, then those idols are not going to bother us anymore. We will be free from them in the name of Jesus. He built an altar to God. And we also have got to build an altar. Our house has got to be an altar for ourselves, for our family, for the neighbors around us, for the street, for the town, for the city, for the Netherlands, for Europe. That there's a place where we worship God and where we put God first in our lives. We're now going into a 3-day prayer and fast. And when we're fasting and when we're getting hungry, that we're going to start praying, that we even set times aside as well, that we are going to pray, and that we're going to hear what God is sharing with us. What is it what God wants to do? Because we're focusing, we're preparing our heart for God. We're preparing, and we want to hear what God is sharing with us so that we can do in our own life, but also in a church and as a global church, what God wants us to do. We're now going to look at a video clip, which is approximately 8 minutes. Then after the video clip, and I'm asking then in the meantime when the video clip is playing that the symbols of the communion are going to be distributed, then I'm going to ask you to go and sit in groups of approximately 4 people. If possible, mix as far as possible. If this is the Red Sea, both of you go through the Red Sea. But mix a little bit, because sometimes it's easier to talk about yourself or to pray over something with somebody else who you do not know whatsoever, because then you're not afraid of a certain thing. If it's somebody you know, you say, oh, no, I shouldn't say that, or then you've got a freedom. That we have communion together, and that we can pray, over those points. But then pray as well beforehand, that what is God saying to you? Where do you have to pray about it? If it is more about the day one, which is about understanding who God is, and asking God that he's going to reveal to you what he wants to use you for, or if it's more for understanding who we are, or if it's more for the wider area, loving the neighbors. And that we also can pray then for the Shofar apostolic team, and then also for the Shofar leadership, and for us as leadership as well, that we're doing what God wants us to do. On your seat or next to your seat, you will have a card with those 3 points as well. Please take it home as well. Put it next to your mirror, or wherever it is, that you can see it and that you can pray this week. So if we can have a look at the video clip, like I said, and if we're going to have the symbols distributed in the meantime as well, then we can have the communion in groups of approximately 4. When we're finished, we still have got 3 songs what we can do, and then we will have coffee and cake afterwards. But as what you're sitting over here, I'm going to ask a question. If there's somebody who says, it's all fine, and I've heard about a communion, I've heard about God, and I've heard about Jesus, and I don't know if I mentioned even the word Holy Spirit this afternoon or not, but I've never made that decision. I've never accepted God as my creator, Jesus Christ as my savior, or the Holy Spirit as my helper. But I feel I must make that decision today. I've never done it publicly. Then I'm asking you to raise your hand, because I would like to have communion with you, and I would like to pray with you. And a communion as well is for those people who feel at ease to have communion in your own church, if you're visiting here today, if this is not your church. Is there anyone who says, but I would like to make that decision this afternoon, and I would like to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? And I'm asking you to raise your hand. I'm glad. All believers. Awesome. So if we can have a look at the video clip, and then we're going to have the symbols being distributed as well. Thank you.
Greetings to all of our Shofar Church family members spread out all across the globe. What an amazing and tremendous privilege it is to be able to stand here, beautiful sunny summers of the West Strand, the Helderberg Basin. We're so thankful to God for what He has done here in our nation, how He's blessing us with rain, He's blessing us with sunshine, He's blessing us with life and with the goodness from His heart. And it truly is amazing to serve our Father. He's faithful. He was faithful in 2019 and He will continue to be faithful in 2020 as well. And it's my great privilege to just take a couple of minutes and share with you guys right there where you are. Some of you will be watching this a little bit earlier than the rest of us, but all of us were bound together by the same Spirit. And we're watching this in different locations, and whether you're in Europe or whether you are in Africa or maybe even another part of the world, and you're watching this, thank you for being part of this family. Thank you for loving with us, loving the people around you. It has been such a great privilege to see what God is doing in our midst then. And I want to share with you just one or two thoughts as we enter into this time of fasting, this time of consecrating ourselves and bringing ourselves and our families and our congregation and our nations before the Lord. There's this beautiful passage of scripture in 1 Chronicles 12, and it speaks about how the different tribes of Israel, in different phases and at different times, they came together to crown David king. Some of them came together whilst David was still in the desert, whilst nobody thought that he was amazing or popular. But they came to him during times when it was tough and it was difficult, and he was a fugitive running from the law. Some of the other tribes joined a little bit later as it became clear that God was with him, as it became clear that there was momentum building. Be that as it may, all of those tribes came together, and each one had a different strength and a different weakness. And they were mighty men there, mighty men of valor. In other words, kingdom builders. And then there's this beautiful verse that speaks about the tribe of Issachar. It says that of the tribe of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times, who knew what Israel had to do, 200 of them, and their kinsmen were under their command. And it's such a beautiful verse and speaks about the fact that these guys knew what was required of them. They had understanding on the one hand, and then they also knew what was the action that was required of them. So understanding, so having sound doctrine, sound principles in place, but then also knowing what is the action that is required. So they didn't just agree in their heads, in their theory, or in their hearts that David was the king, the man that God called to usher his people into a new dispensation. They also knew that something had to be done to see this kingdom come to pass, so to speak. Something had to be done. And the amazing thing for us, of course, is that none of us here, none of you in your different congregations, none of you have come to serve a man. You haven't come to serve your local pastor first and foremost. You certainly haven't come to serve me first and foremost. We serve the eternal Son of David. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve at His throne and in His kingdom. And so it's important for us to ask ourselves, do we have understanding? Do we have understanding of the time to which we have come? 2020, what would be that thing which we need to understand? And that's a journey, just like it was for each one of the individual tribes within Israel. Each one had to wrestle through that. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What am I good at? What am I not so good at? And how can that serve the greater purpose? And every congregation, every individual, every family has to journey through that. What do I need to do right now? What do I need to understand in South Africa, in Burundi, in the Netherlands, in the UK, wherever I might find myself? What do I need to understand and what do I need to do? And so as we fast, as we pray, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord for understanding, for you as an individual, and also where you work and where you live together with the rest of your church family. But also, there's something else. There's something that binds us together, sort of as the bigger Israel, as the bigger body of Christ, as a bigger church family. What is that thing which we collectively need to understand? And I believe that that is pure and simply what Jesus demonstrated over and over again within the Gospels, and specifically he in Mark and in Matthew, and Mark 12, you can go and read that. He answers this question. Basically, the question was, Lord, what is the top priority for us for 2020? What is the thing we need to understand more than anything else? And Jesus said, it's this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to hold this before us. That is still what God is calling us to do. That is still the thing which we need to understand. Still the thing we need to trust God for even a greater understanding. And as we fast, as we break away from some of the things that might distract us, please keep in mind Psalm 42 verse 1. It's a beautiful verse. It says that as the deer pants, longs, yearns for the water, so my soul longs after you. And Jesus says we need to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul, all of our mind. And during this time of consecration where we are coming before God, we were trusting for a greater understanding of God, who God is, a fresh understanding of His character, and then to trust God for fresh understanding of who am I? Because David, or the psalmist, speaks to his soul, and he says that his soul longs for God. At a later stage, he says that, be still, my soul. And again, he says that, I speak to myself, say, soul, why are you disturbed within me? And I sense that God, in this year, in 2020, is wanting to invite us to bring our souls to Him. So as we fast, as we pray, and maybe you start yearning for that coffee, you start yearning for that Netflix series, you start yearning for maybe even just being busy or running or whatever it might be, may that yearning, that physical yearning, remind you of a deeper yearning of your soul for God, for the pleasures that come from His presence. And I want to encourage you that you will take the 3 days, or however many days you're going to use fasting, praying, and consecrating yourself to God. Say, Father, I want to love you with all of my soul. What does that mean? Father, show me, who am I? Show me my weaknesses. Show me the hidden things that might be lurking underneath the surface. But then more than that, show me who I am in you. And then I want to bring all of that and love you with all that I am. And from that place, love my neighbor as myself. And so thank you for being part of this family once again. And thank you for collectively trusting God for this understanding. Father, this one thing is what we desire. We want to long for you above anything else. We want to love you with everything that we have. May God grant you wisdom and understanding as you embark on this journey of consecrating yourselves to God, to the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we can declare again that we want nothing else to satisfy our souls except you. We thank you for the vision you have given us, the church family, Lord, to take the gospel to the whole world and to disciple nations and generations. But Father, we want to keep the main thing, and that is to love you with everything that we have. So I pray that each one of our congregations, Lord, will grow into being a safe place where our souls can be revealed in your presence, can be revealed to ourselves and even to one another. And then collectively, God, we can worship you with everything that we are. Lord, continue to search our hearts, unite our hearts, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. We love you. Looking forward to seeing you one of these days. Blessings. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.